Sunday morning. Thank God for His blessings. Thank God we can be here. Thank God Brother Buddy's here today. Amen. So that way, and I would hate to see him sick, but I sure hate to see him when he's not here. Then I got to pull double duty. So I'm glad he's here today. All right, good to have you. Let's turn in our hymn books to hymn number 308. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Where is that higher ground? Let's sing first, second, and last verses. 308. Morning. If you are, then you're not going to worry what the devil can try to do to you. You're not on quicksand. You're on a solid rock this morning. Do we have any prayer requests today? Any spoken prayer requests? Let's pray for Miss Betty. She's not here today, and so let's pray for her and the physical problems that she has with her hip, sciatic nerve, that type of thing. So let's pray for her. Anyone out here? Yes, Miss Faye. Miss Faye, did you go back to work yesterday? Or did you work yesterday? I don't know, you were talking about how bad your leg was. I don't know if they'd thrown you to the den of wolves or not. Okay. All right, let's continue to pray for that. Anybody else out here? Choir?
Anybody? Sister Ruth.
Spoken request, let it be known by a raised hand. The Lord knows all about it. All right, Brother Bill, lead us in prayer this morning. You may be seated. Pray for the choir. Closer there than I was yesterday.
Amen.
Not too much longer, I believe that. All right, let's have a fellowship time. Some say it's grin, grip, and greet. All right, let's turn in our red books to hymn number 232, When I See the Blood. We'll sing the first and the second fellowship and come back on the last.
Thank you.
through that last verse. Specials? Okay. All right. We'll let Miss Teresa is going to sing for us, and then Holly and Caleb. Am I right on that? Okay. All right.
When he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy and all of his love, and the pen of the writer could write every day. Even this world could never contain how I have been blessed. The warmth in the winter, the flowers in spring, the laughter in summer and the changing of leaves, the food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back and shoes on my feet, I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. arms that will raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise Him as long as I breathe. I have been blessed. A father and mother who nurtured and raised, a brother and sister, memories made, our pastor to lead us, the altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and blood that can save. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gained some, but some have given all for me to be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, the rock where He leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where He hides me under His wings. He's not just a song, He's the reason I sing. I have been blessed. I have been blessed, God's so good to me. Precious are His thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them, there's not enough time. So I'll just thank Him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed.
Well, kinda watched everybody while Miss Teresa was singing. I noticed some of you got a little moisture in your eyes. And you know, life is tough. There can be no doubt of that. Everybody has trials and difficulties, but isn't it amazing that the Christian, even in the midst of all the adversities and problems, can still rise to the occasion and know in their heart God has been good, and that we have been blessed. And if we ever forget that, and many people have, we just don't need to forget that. Just remember, no matter how hard it is, Paul put it this way, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so we need to keep that in mind. All right, we got some folks going to sing for us. Y'all come on, sing.
He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took them just like the moon and the stars, the sun, earth, and Jupiter evermore. A love and a patient he will be. He's still working on me to what I ought to be. I sign the heart,
Trying to take everybody's jobs. But he just adds a new one all the time, doesn't he? And so I think he's just about, I'm just waiting for when he starts preaching. All right, that was wonderful. Thank you so much. All right. This Sunday and next Sunday, we're going to have a missions emphasis. And today we have Brother Avery Stevens with us. Now, those of you that went with us to the revival meeting back in, I think it was the latter part of August, I held a revival meeting over at Keeling Baptist, and the choir came over Sunday evening and sang, and Brother Avery is a deacon there, Sunday school teacher, and he is a Gideon. And so he has come today to share the work of the Gideons with us. Now, next Sunday, let me announce this. Next Sunday, we're going to have a one-day missions conference. Now, the last couple of years, we had Brother Fry come in. We had Dr. Billy Martin. We had a half-week's missions conference with these men. This year, we're not going to do that. We're just going to have a one-day missions conference. And we're going to have one missionary with us, one of our own missionaries, Brother Fred Daniels. Brother Daniel is going to Mexico, and he's going in the next few months to Mexico. So I wanted him to come and to share how things are going. I think it's been about, 3 years since he's been here. And give an update. They have had a baby. I just had another baby about 2 or 3 weeks ago, that long. And so I'm not sure if they'll be bringing the whole quiver next week. But they're going to be here and share the work and the ministry and how they're getting ready to go to the field. Our speaker to share with us about Faith Promise Missions, to remind us, is Pastor David Freeman. Brother Freeman is pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Patrick Springs, where I used to pastor. And Brother Freeman has had work in mission work as well as pastoring. He went to North Dakota many years ago and did some mission work in North Dakota. North Dakota, I had an opportunity to go up there. My wife and I did, Bethany, many years ago when he was there, and wide open in those areas up in Dakota. And you would have to drive 30, 40 miles to get to a Bible-believing church. That's about, you'd be lucky if you could see one about an hour away. So he pastored and labored there. So he's going to be sharing the burden of missions, a one-day missions conference next week. But today, Brother Avery's here, and he's going to be sharing with us the ministry of the Gideons. And so I appreciate him being with us. At the end of the service, we're going to take our regular offering, and then we'll take another offering, and whatever you want to give, if you're able to give, we'll go to help with the ministry of the Gideons. Okay? So, Brother Avery, if you'll come at this time and bless us with the good news of the gospel.
Pages out of the Bibles. At one time, Sammy Contreras controlled all the illegal drug traffic in Colorado City, Texas. While he was in jail for attempted murder, the Gideons came through and they gave each one of the inmates a Bible. Well, Sammy and his buddies, they promptly tore the pages out of the Bibles to make playing cards. One day while they were matching pages, Sammy happened to read, "For God so loved the world." From that moment on, he began to change. Soon, Jesus Christ became his Lord and Savior. Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fats." Verse 3, "Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be here in this your house. Lord, we pray that you would bless our time together and that you would accomplish your will and your purpose here this morning. We'll not cease to give you praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The objective of the Gideons is to win men and women, boys and girls, for our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not here this morning to lift up the Gideons. I'm not here to promote myself. I'm here to lift up the Lord Jesus. How is it that we seek to win people? One of the things that we do is pray. With the Gideons, the local camps come together each week and we have a prayer meeting. We read the scriptures, we pray for the ministry, we have already prayed for this service. We pray for our pastors, we pray for our congregations, we pray for the work, we pray for open doors, open hands, open hearts, save souls, that the kingdom of God might enlarge and go forward. We seek to win others through personal witness. We have a tool that we use. It's a little New Testament. We call it a personal witnessing test. It's obviously the New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, but in the back, there's scripture, a place to sign when you accept Jesus Christ. And in the front, as we go about our daily lives as Gideons, our daily walk, we run across people that have questions, that have concerns, and it shows in the front there where to look. Not to see what I think about it or what you think about it, or find the answers that humans might come up with, but to see what God has to say about life's problems, life's issues, life's troubles. I talked to a lady here a few weeks ago. She had lost two dear, close friends of hers, and she was confused, and she was upset. And I had opportunity to say, "Well, I've got something here for you." And I opened it up and I showed her where she could look to see, you know, see where the answers are. And she was very grateful. And I gave her that testament. Most of you know by one of these. How many of you have seen one of these? Tank Kersey was a biker. He looked like a biker. He was a great big guy, long hair, beard, chains, leather. Nothing wrong with any of that, but he got into alcohol and drugs. And he found himself sitting out west in a hotel room. And the reason that he was out there was he was going to kill a man over a drug deal that had gone bad. Tank told how he was sitting in that hotel room and picked up his .45 and cocked the hammer back and put it up to his head. But for some reason, he didn't pull the trigger. He laid that down and he picked one of these up. Because somebody like you, possibly, sitting in a church pew somewhere, gave $5. That this scripture could have been placed in that hotel room. He picked up that Bible. He got saved right there in that hotel room. And before he could get back across the country to his wife and his kids in North Carolina, they got saved. And Tank, I had the pleasure of hearing him speak. I saw him up in Gretna at CNE's. And I saw him going across a parking lot. And I said, boy, that's a rough-looking character. Went in there to our meeting, and he was at the head table. He was the speaker for the night. So we need to be careful about how we judge people. But he was telling how he would go to the biker rallies, and he would set up a tent, and he would give out free food, and then he would give out the real food, the Word of God. And there's no telling how many people that got to know the Lord because of that one Bible in that one hotel room through his ministry. Today he's with the Lord. Last year, the Gideons International distributed 84,083,388 copies of God's Word International. Now, that's a huge number, and I can't comprehend that. But if you place your hand over your heart, is your heart beating? Can you feel it beating? If you were up here, you could feel it beating. Every time your heart beats, over 2 copies of God's Word being placed somewhere in this world by the Gideons International. Heartbeat, 2 copies. Heartbeat, 2 copies. 159 a minute. Our numbers worldwide as far as membership is 301,284. Brother Van was talking about missionaries. We are, in fact, your missionaries. Before we can be a Gideon, we have to be a member of an evangelical or a Protestant church. You have to be a member in good standing, and your pastor, he's our quality control, he's got to recommend you to the Gideons before you can become a Gideon. So we are, for sure, your missionaries. Did y'all know that you've got over 300,000 missionaries? We're active in 194 different countries. We have local camps that we work through. I'm a member of Pennsylvania South Camp. We have a Pennsylvania North Camp. We have a Danville City Camp. And those individual camps all over these countries, they take care of the work locally. We have 48 members in our local camp. And last year, we distributed 2,955 scriptures in our immediate area. We do that in various what we call traffic lanes of life. We don't seek to duplicate what other ministries are doing. We seek to distribute scriptures in the areas where the Lord has opened a door for us. And some of those areas are hotels, hospitals, doctor's offices, schools, colleges, police and fire stations. We do military, we do jails and prisons. The local camp here, we've got a ministry at Chatham Jail. Matter of fact, some of our members are going over there tonight to share the gospel with the inmates over there. We have a ministry at Green Rock. If you've not ever been to prison, you ought to go sometime. They have church over there. They really do. Our local camp here, we just finished up the Chatham Youth Rally. We went over there 2 nights for that, Chatham High School, and we passed out 202 testaments over there Monday and Tuesday this past week. Some of us had a chance to go to Virginia Tech. We go up there the first day of classes each year. This past fall, we gave out 5,923 scriptures at Virginia Tech. We're able in Pennsylvania County to still to go into the county schools and give these out to the fifth graders. Danville City, we're not allowed to do that. A lot of people don't want to see this little red book. I just really can't understand why they're so scared of a book, especially the best-selling book of all time. A lot of people don't want to see that. Woody McLean and his wife, they didn't want to see that come into their house. You see, they ran a nightclub. And Jesus and nightclubs don't get along too well. But Jeannie and Edna, their two daughters, got one of these little red testaments from the Gideons at a school distribution, and those two little girls got saved. And they wanted their parents saved also. And so this little red testament started showing up on the dresser, on the kitchen table. Yeah, it started showing up in the reading room. And after a while, unable to resist God's word any longer, they started reading that testament, and both of them got saved. Today, Woody McLean is a pastor, faithfully proclaiming the word of God. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So you may be thinking to yourself, well, all that sounds real good. What does it have to do with me? What can I do? Well, there's three things that we would ask that you could help with. Number one is that you could pray. You see, we're in spiritual warfare together. "My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place." Our country really needs prayer today. And brothers and sisters, it's up to you and it's up to me. According to the word of God, "My people, pray without ceasing. Brethren, pray for us." Now, the second thing that you could do is give. We knew I was going to get to that. I know we're in a recession here, and I know that we were already in a recession before it became popular here in Danville. But I also know this, that my God has not experienced any recession. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills and all the taters in those hills. And I also know this, he owns whatever's in my pocket and whatever's in your pocket, 100% of it. We're called to be good stewards of what he trusts us with. "Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." We get the word, our word hilarious from that, cheerful. God loves a hilarious giver. And I'll also say this to you, 100 cents out of every dollar that you give to the Gideons is used to purchase and to ship scriptures. Nothing else. There's lots of worthy causes out there, but everything that we take up in a church service like this, 100 cents out of every dollar goes for scriptures. You can help by using the Gideon cars, and I've just freshened up your display back in the back here. Somebody passes away, or somebody has a life event that you want to recognize, or you're thinking of somebody. Nice cards you can fill out and send to them. A little envelope you can fill out and send to the Gideons, and the Gideons will purchase and place scriptures with those funds. Flowers are nice, they're beautiful, but they fade away. God's word does not fade away. God's word produces eternal fruit. And you can also help us by joining. If you
you're interested in talking about joining, I'd be happy to talk with you about the qualifications for certain employment or educational or business qualifications. The number one qualification is you have to be saved. Number two, you have to be a church member. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. The brethren which are with me greet you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Thank you, Brother Van, for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you, my brothers and sisters here at Faith Baptist Church. May God richly bless you.
All right, thank you, Brother Avery, for that good update on the ministries of the Gideons. Turn with me in your Bible for just a few moments to the book of Acts chapter 8. And I'm going verse by verse through the book of Acts. And it's very appropriate talking about what Brother Avery has said. It falls into place with what we're going to talk about for just a few minutes here in Acts chapter 8. Last week we saw the death of Stephen. What was the result of the death of Stephen? One of the church fathers, Tertullian was his name, and Tertullian made a statement that has become a famous statement and quoted for centuries. And the statement that he made is this: the death of the saints, or the martyr of the saints, or the blood of the saints, is that which causes seed and growth in the church. The blood of the saints is the seed of the church. And when people die for their faith in Jesus Christ, you'll never see the church disband. It'll always grow. It'll always prosper. And we're going to see that. Chapter 8, look at verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. This goes back to chapter 7, where we were last week, the stoning of Stephen. They laid their clothes, their garments, if you will, at the feet of Saul. Saul watched this, he observed this, and he was consenting. He looked and he observed and he agreed with the death of Saul, of Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and there were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and they were lame and were healed. And there was great joy in that city, but there was a certain man named called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the same of Samaria, the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they gave regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So we see Paul, or at this time his name is Saul of Tarsus, consenting unto the death of Stephen. As a result, the next part of that same verse 1 says there was a persecution that took place. The old saying, the way I liken it, is this. I've always heard that a shark is never satisfied after his first kill. that he will always go after blood a second, third, fourth time. Once he tastes it, he's never satisfied till he has it again. And oftentimes you'll see that in the religious world. Here you have the religious people who saw the death of Stephen, and in their mind this was probably the greatest single event since the death of Jesus Christ that they'd ever witnessed. They felt probably that this is great, this is wonderful, this is marvelous. Man, we're going to drive these Christians out of town. And when you see something like this and see one of the great leaders like Stephen put to death, we are putting these Christians in their places. Well, as a result, that's not what took place. It says that they were scattered in verse 1 abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. Do the words Judea and Samaria strike you in any particular way? Hold your place and quickly back up to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. Let's notice something here, please. Acts chapter 1, and look at verse number 8. And this is the great commission that's given in the book of Acts. Jesus is speaking, "But ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem." Now that's where they've been all this time. But they're not going to stay where they are. Because the Bible says now not only Jerusalem, but in all Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. You see the words Judea and Samaria again? Now, do you know what? We are creatures of habit. We do everything the same pretty much. I've made mention of the fact that lots of times, fellas, I don't know about you, but I don't like changes. I don't like my wife to say, "Let's move the furniture." I like the furniture where it is. There's nothing wrong with the furniture where it is. It isn't hurting anybody. All right? It's staying right there. It's good. It's wonderful. But our dear precious wives have something they like about making things change a little. And so they say, "Let's put this over here. Let's do that." And it's like, "No, let's not. Let's do and say we did, but let's not do it." Okay? Because we just don't like change. Creatures do not like oftentimes change. And do you know that God sent persecution? Did this persecution in Acts chapter 1, did it happen for a reason? Sure it did. Because Christians like to do the same old thing. I have seen and I have heard stories of churches. Everybody sits the same place all the time. Most of you sit the same place all the time. And then you have the nerve once in a while to move. And you mess me up. Because I look and I say, "Well, so-and-so's not here." "No, they're not. They're sitting over there." And it's like, "What did you do? Why did you move?" Because everybody always sits in the same place. I've heard stories of people. I heard the story of a little old woman that came into church one day. She'd sat in the same seat, something like the fourth pew or something, on the aisle on a certain side, and she'd sit in that place 20 years. And somebody got to church before she did, visitors, and they sat in her spot. And they did not know that that was her spot. And she stood there. And she looked at them. She stood right at the pew and looked down at them. And they looked up at her and they said, "Hello, ma'am." And she said, "You're in my spot." They said, "Excuse me? I have sat right there for 20 years. You are sitting in my spot." And she waited till they moved. Now, that's very strange and a little bit humorous, and I'm sure it made those people feel kind of bad that somebody would be that way, but there are some people that are not going to change as far as habits are concerned. Habits are deep. Habits run high, and we are comfortable with habits. Well, you know what? God sent a persecution in verse 1 and scattered the believers. Why? Because the gospel had to get out. Remember Acts 1:8 we just read? "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world." Here we are talking about missions. Okay? Here we are talking about the Gideons. Here we are talking about next week going to Mexico and all of these things. They're missionaries reaching people. But you know what? If you don't get somebody's comfort zone messed up, they ain't going nowhere. God sent a disturbance. God sent a persecution. God sent something in the lives of these Christians. These were not necessarily what we would call preachers. But they were people who witnessed. They were people who shared their faith in Christ. And God says, all right, you just can't all stay in Jerusalem. You've got to go other places. You've got to take the gospel other places. There are people, no doubt, that are Christians today that get job relocations. And somebody said, I don't want to leave home. I don't want to leave my family. But I've got to take this job relocation. If I don't, I may lose my job, or I may get a big raise for doing this or whatever. But did it also occur to that same person that with that move may come the opportunity to reach somebody for Jesus Christ that they mean that nobody else could ever reach? Very possible. Okay. So they were scattered all throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. But notice this, except the apostles. Every time the apostles faced persecution, we've seen it several times already in the first seven chapters of the book of Acts, we've seen them stay right in the middle of it. They don't run. They don't take off. They do not cower in fear. They stay right there. And the apostles are staying right there. Verse 2, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial. Now, if the believers have been persecuted and scattered into other regions, wonder who the devout men were. They may not have been Christians. They may have been unsaved people. They may have been, no doubt, Jews. And they watched this and they didn't agree with it. They did not agree with what had happened to Stephen. So out of respect, you know, I believe with all my heart there are people that may not agree with you in your stand for Christianity, but I'll tell you one thing, they respect you. You take a stand for God, they will respect you. They may not like you, but they will respect you. And the devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. Isn't it interesting how good people that love God many times die early? Then people who do not love God and live wicked, evil lives live to be a ripe old age, and you wonder why. And we just don't know. When we get to heaven, these things will be revealed to us. As for Saul, verse 3, he made havoc of the church. One thing you cannot say about Saul, when Saul was Saul of Tarsus and he persecuted the church, and when we mean persecute, he took them to death. He took them and put them in the arenas, and they died at the mouths of lions and things of this nature. And they were taken and they were whipped and they were beaten, and they were said, recant your faith, and if you don't recant your faith, you're going to die. And he was a persecutor and a person that put people to death. But you know what? When he got saved, we find this out, that he put just as much into his Christianity as he did in his living for the devil. That's what I appreciate. I appreciate if somebody can actually go into the bars and the honky-tonks, as Brother Avery gave testimony to some of the Christians that got saved through the ministries of Gideon Bibles being placed. If you can give 100% for the devil, why can't you give 100% for God? And you know what? What's so sad is there are a lot of people that did give 100% to the devil, but they don't give nothing to God. And we ought to. We ought to give everything we've got to the Lord. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. I mean, he was absolutely 100, if you will, 150% for what he did. Therefore, verse 4, therefore they were scattered abroad, which went everywhere preaching the word. Just for just a few minutes, let me share with you three things here about preaching the word. Just some three simple things in our text. Verse number 4, they preached the word. I have in my hand, and you have in your lap, the complete word of God. We have God's word. Okay? Isn't it interesting that a Bible, let's say that you go to Walmart or Kmart or someplace like that, and you go and you find what I would call, and do not misunderstand what I'm saying, a cheap Bible. Now, the Bible is not cheap, but you understand what I mean. It is printed inexpensively. That means it has a cardboard base to it. It has newsprint type of paper. The letters are very small and sometimes very hard to read. But did you know if you were to spend, let's say, $5.95 for that cardboard Bible, if I may say that, that $5.95 Bible has the power to change people. It's absolutely inexhaustible. those Gideon Bibles that they pick up and they read and they find in the motels and everywhere else, and people read them, there is power in that hardback Bible to change people's lives. Why? Because what are we doing? We are preaching the Word. Everything from Genesis to Revelation, or as the old country preacher tried to say it, from generation to revolution. He said, it's all in the book. And he said, and you know what? We need to do that. This contains the mind of God. This contains the whole counsel of God. And we read in the Bible that that's what people did. They preached the whole counsel of God. And somebody says, well, I don't understand this, and I don't understand this, and I can't find it in the Bible. You know why you can't find it in the Bible? You can't find it in the Bible because God didn't want you to know about it. If He wants you to know about it, it's in the Bible. And if He doesn't, you've got to deal with it. And you've got to say, okay, when I get to heaven, God, you'll show me these things. You say, well, there's some things that are in the Bible that are black and white. Yes, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. Those are black and white matters, but there's some matters that's not black and white. You can't find a single verse in the Bible that says thou shalt not smoke tobacco. But somebody well said, and it's not a bad thought, they said, smoking tobacco may not send you to hell, but it might make you smell like you've been there. If we talk about things like the temple of our bodies and grieving not the Holy Spirit and that type of thing, then the defilement of the body is talked about in something like that. But you know what? You know, we don't have a lot of room to talk about smoking and things, because if we're not careful, none of us would talk about it, and nobody would say, okay, well, we should, you know, we're not going to say everybody should smoke. We don't believe that because we think that's wrong, and it is wrong. I knew a church one time in Durham, North Carolina, that a pastor went there, and the people would stand outside the doors of the church on Sunday morning and smoke like a stack, you know, smoke stack. And it just got so bad that, I mean, there were cigarette butts all outside the church, and the pastor approached the people about it, and he said, and as far as I know, he handled it correctly. And he said, this is not a good testimony for people to come up and see all these cigarette butts outside the church. And you know what the church decided to do? They decided to vote to close down. They shut the church down so they wouldn't have to stop smoking outside the church. Somebody got something messed up. Priorities are not right. Now, what am I saying? You can take that any way you want to, because we could talk about gluttony, couldn't we? There's not a verse that says, thou shalt not overeat, but we know that that's not a good thing. The Bible does talk about gluttony. And it's one thing you'll never hear preached at homecoming in any church is gluttony. You'll never hear that preached on homecoming. Because, I mean, that's some good food right there, so you'd be stupid to say otherwise. But do you see what I'm saying? Some things are black and white. Some things are gray matter. Some things that we look in the Bible and we study and we search the Scriptures and we compare verse by verse by verse by verse. This is what verse 4 says, preaching the Word, whether it's prophecy, whether it's salvation, whether it's practical Christian living, it's in the Bible. It's in the Word. How do you find it? You get in it. The Bible talks about, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, talks about reading the Word of God line upon line, truth upon truth, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And that's what we're supposed to do. We get in the book and we let the book teach us and the book shows us. That's what he means, preaching the Word. But let's narrow it down a little more. Look at verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Let's narrow it down a little. We're preaching the Word, but now let's narrow it down. We preach Christ. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say in, I think it was John chapter 3? He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And he made reference to the brass serpent on a pole. And use the illustration, just as Moses lifted up the pole, the brass pole with the serpent on it, so will the Son of Man be lifted up. And then we read in the Bible says, and we have an old hymn that we sing that says, look to Jesus now and live. Look to Jesus now and live. And you look to the cross and you look to Jesus, and we need to preach Christ. What I fear that sometimes we do is we in our churches, we decide to preach on hobby horses. We preach on non-essential things. We are so worried that somebody's not going to cross the T or dot the I like we do. So we're very narrow-minded and we forget that, yes, there may be a time and place for that type of thing, but the first and foremost thing is we need to preach Christ. In the book of Acts, the people looked at the disciples and they said this, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." That's true. We need to see Jesus. And he said, "Preach Christ." And then lastly, look over at verse 12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God." John chapter 3 again. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. And he talked about how that if a man is not born again, he cannot see the what? Kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is your personal salvation. In the Bible, there are two things talked about. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is the literal kingdom. It speaks of heaven and also speaks of the literal kingdom that's going to be set up there in the 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's the kingdom of heaven. But there's also the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God. And the Bible says this. It says, "Lo, the kingdom of God is within you." Okay? So when you get saved, in your heart is brought the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the work of God. You cannot see salvation unless there comes that time that you listen to the things that are being proclaimed. And it says in verse 12, "And when they believed Philip concerning the things concerning the kingdom of God," what did they believe? They believed that this thing of Jesus Christ is necessary to my very life. It's necessary that I apply and appropriate this thing to me. You can hear the preaching of the word in verse 5. You can hear the preaching of Christ in verse 4 and then in verse 5. But you've got to make it personal. You've got to narrow that thing down a little more. And you've got to say, this thing belongs and applies to me. It's just not good to go up and say, "Preacher, you sure gave it to them today. How about me? How does this apply to me?" And I must apply the Bible to me. Or if I do not, it means absolutely nothing. Nothing. The Bible, does it apply to me? Sort of like the story of a man and his son, and his wife died. And after everything was taken care of, and they went to bed the day of the funeral, they went to bed that night, and the dad went to bed, kept the little boy in his arms. And the little boy is snuggled close to his daddy because naturally he's grieving over the loss of the mother. Just as that little boy would start to go to sleep, he'd start, wake up, and he'd say, "Daddy, are you there?" And he said, "Yes, son, I'm here." And he'd start to try to get settled in again, and then I guess the remembrance of mama being gone, he startled awake again. He said, "Daddy, are you there?" Finally, the little boy relaxed and finally went off to sleep. And with tears streaming down the face of the daddy, daddy looked up and said, "Heavenly Father, are you there? Are you there?" The Bible's not anything if it's not made for you. It must be appropriated from my life, or it's nothing. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll minister to us. We thank you for the good testimony that Brother Avery shared with us, the power of your word, and then to see in the scriptures how the preaching of the word of God made such an effect for these apostles. How many believed and were converted because not only the preaching of the word, but then the preaching of Christ, and then the preaching concerning personal salvation. And I pray, God, that you'll have every one of us to make sure that things are right between us and you, that, Lord, 6 inches below our left collarbone, all is well. I pray, Father, if there's anybody that's not saved, may they come to Christ and be saved. Help us to understand. And thank you for this wonderful book called the Bible. and for how it applies to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn number? 7. Seated. Brother Bill and Brother Julius, if you'll come, we're going to receive two offerings this morning. The first is going to be our tithes and offerings, and you give as you normally would. And then we'll come back in just a second and receive an offering, free will offering for the Gideons. So if you are able to give today, then that would be a blessing. You do as the Lord has enabled you to do. Brother Julius, lead us in prayer, please. Second offering ready. If you have it, then we'll let the men go and receive that at this time. Choir practice. Okay. All right, tonight, 5 o'clock service. Be with us. We'll be thinking about the subject of Thanksgiving, so be here at 5 o'clock for that. And don't forget, pray for our one-day missions conference next week. We'll have a good day. Good to have Holly with us. She's in for a few days, and always a blessing to have her. And I'm going to always forget names. Jill. I should remember, because you've been here, you're not a visitor, you're home folk. Thank you for coming today. All right? So it's good to see you. Good. Have a great day. God bless you. Thank you.
Katie out until somebody else did.
Thank you.